Did you know that Game Pass or Pass is brought to you for free because of Spotify for Podcasters? It's a totally free platform, and you can make a podcast today for free. Spotify for Podcasters lets you record and edit podcasts right from your phone or computer. So no matter what your setup is like, you can start creating today. Then you can distribute your podcast to Spotify and everywhere else that podcasts are heard. And if you think about taking your podcast to the next level with a video podcast, Spotify can help you too. With Spotify for Podcasters, you can also earn money in a variety of ways that includes ads and podcast subscriptions. So what are you waiting for? Download the Spotify for Podcasters app or go to spotify.com/podcasts to get started right now.
Good sirs, welcome to another episode of the Game Pass or Pass, the podcast where we play all the games on Microsoft Game Pass service so you don't have to. By the end of the show, we will tell you if this game is good enough to pass along to your friends or pass on by it. Today, I'm joined with Corey.
Yo.
What's going on?
Oh, you know, playing that Messenger and playing a little Apex.
Dat Messenger?
Dat Messenger.
I fucked with Dat Messenger. Apex, it's a sign.
That's not on Game Pass, but
it should be, right? I guess.
I mean, it's free to play, so.
Oh, okay, all right.
Wait, you gonna say your name?
Wait, I forgot. Hold on. I mean, I never read off a script before. I forgot what Game Pass. Oh, why am I reading the rest of this bull nonsense? Anyway, they already know who I am. It's Basher. Same old Basher man. Yeah, as you said, we're talking about the game Messenger on Game Pass.
The Messenger.
The Messenger. Dat Messenger. Developed by who now? Is that the
Sabotage.
Vault? Sabotage?
Sabotage Studio. It's their first game.
That's the... Really?
Yep, it's their first ever game.
I'm
thoroughly impressed.
Yeah. I would have thought they made at least a few other of these pixel light games, whatever they want to call them. This pixel art games. So, like, it's not really pixel based though, is it?
Well, part of it is.
Yeah.
No, I guess actually no, not really. It's not, it's more sprite based, I guess.
Exactly. Yeah. Well,
and they're from Quebec.
Well, I remember being at work and then you sending me a message on the Messenger application telling me to download the Messenger immediately because you loved it. Tell me more about this game.
Well, the Messenger, see, okay, so the first things first is, this is a hard game to talk about because there are actually spoilers for it. So it's hard to talk about why I liked this game a lot because this game does have like some twists in it that you don't really expect coming. So what I'm going to say is that I think for like the first couple minutes, I'm going to talk about why I like it. And then I'm going to say, if you don't want to be spoiled by a couple things, then probably turn off then. But so I guess we're going to do this a little different than that. The reason I love this game is because it starts out as kind of like a Ninja Gaiden game, but it's not like stupid difficult where
keep in mind, this is by Ninja Gaiden. I mean like 1992 Ninja Gaiden.
Right.
Like
Yeah, where every enemy can basically just destroy you if you don't know what you're doing. When I first started playing the game, I was like, all right, I can get into this. But then they instantly give you that jump mechanic where basically if you hit something in the air or if it's an enemy, sometimes there's like things in the background, foreground, whatever you want to call it, like kind of like candles in Castlevania. There's stuff like that. But every time you hit that, you can get another jump. So then instantly, like, they give you like a stare of things that you can just keep hitting and just keep going up. I'm like, all right, I'm into this. Like, I'm digging this. And so like the first hour just sort of flies by. I'm digging the music. I'm like, and I'm not dying, which is something that, you know, the only game that I can think about that even came close to this was Strider, the Strider remake that came
out. I did like some Strider.
Yeah. And that game was really good because it starts you off, you know, it starts very basic, but it ramps it up very quickly in terms of the mechanics and as well as the, what do you want to call it? I don't want to say the difficulty, but it's got a good rise to it. It gets more difficult as you go on in a good way. It never just kind of throws stuff at you. So I was hooked. Like, I haven't played a game like this probably since Strider, and I was a huge fan of that game. And I love games that basically, you know, the stuff like Mega Man, more specifically Mega Man X, to where when they start introducing stuff like slides and double jumps and wall running and stuff, that the basically you become one with the ninja, and you feel like a ninja. Like, you're hitting stuff, and there's times that you don't even touch the ground for a couple minutes.
Like, yeah, this game has an incredible flow to it. Whereas, like you said, like it's more than just time passing by quickly. It's like more than me playing an hour and feeling like 20 minutes. It's really kind of like it's a matter of you get into this mode where it's all muscle based. You're not really thinking, just reacting to the things that's happening on the screen, and it feels all very smooth. Feels very polished. And I mean, I was when I first started playing, I liked it. I really did. I mean, like, and I still do. It's just a matter of, I'm not a huge fan of. So, like, we compared it to Strider just a minute ago. Like, the thing I like about the 2014 Strider remake, I want to say, is that it took that older game and brought it to a modern time, so that it had modern flair to it and right. Modern gameplay. The Messenger is 100% a love letter to the 80s action games. So, like, when we say it's like the old Ninja Gaiden, it is lifted like Ninja Gaiden right. Gameplay. So right. It's like...
Even the run animation is very similar to the original Ninja Gaiden. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's like... Which is it's not a thing I dislike, but it's definitely something that I don't love anymore, and I think it's just because me personally, I don't have that grip on nostalgia for most things in terms of gaming. So like when I played, I'm like, this is really fun, but like, what's the twist? And for the longest time in the game, like honestly, that double jump, that kind of hooked me. I'm like, this is fun. This is something I could do for hours, and in which I did, because it really adds something to the gameplay that. You kind of didn't, that even the developers sometimes don't plan for, because there's right. there's a boss battle that I've like with the, because there is a small upgrade tree. So like you can get a glide that turns. And so when you're gliding, you can hit things in the air while you're gliding. So you can just stay in the air indefinitely as long as you're hitting something. Right. There's a boss in this level, on one of these levels, where if you get on top of the head, it doesn't.
It's
touch
over.
You.
Yeah. Like, it's over. Like... Well, and it's. But the thing is that I actually don't. I think they intended on that, because for whatever reason, and maybe I'm just dumb, I cannot tell you how many times during boss fights I forgot that if you hit something, you can jump off of it.
Oh,
like,
okay.
And I think I know the boss you're talking about with the hands, the big yes. hand thing. Yes. Yeah. So I was actually struggling on that boss for a little while, and I was like, what am I doing wrong? And then like, it just dawned on me. I was like, oh my God. Like, I was like, of course I can hit. Cause almost, I shouldn't say almost everything, but a lot of the enemies do die in one hit. So you sort of kind of create this flow that you're used to of just like hit, jump, exactly. hit, jump. And you're always moving forward, whereas the boss was a little different. And it was just like, I was hitting him a couple times, and then, you know, he does a thing where he throws you off. And I was just like, man, like, I feel like I've done this like 10 times, and he's just now started blinking. So like, what am I doing wrong? And then when it dawned on me, I was like, oh my God. So, you know, even once you remember that, it's still, you know, you definitely can do more damage, but to actually stay up in the air is not easy, because he has a couple different moves.
Exactly.
So I don't know if they didn't intend, but I think I think they knew people would be able to try to exploit it, but they almost right. encourage it. You know, like, they want you to feel powerful. Whereas, again, like, I don't want to keep harking back to Ninja Gaiden's difficulty, but that's the thing that always turned me off from that game. Like, I just feel like I was never making progress. Whereas this game, I was always making progress, and that I can talk about that. There's something else that they do that's kind of spoilery. I won't get into quite yet, but this game is very good at always pushing you forward and always feeling like you're going forward. And even when it comes to the bosses. So
exactly. And the thing you touched on earlier was which is probably my favorite part about this game is honestly the music, because there's been times where I just kind of left the game going Well, I did other things because the music in the background is pretty damn good. That's probably my favorite part about it because, like, and again, it's not that, what do you call it? It's not the 8-bit chirp sounding stuff. It's like that, but brought into a modern time.
Yeah, it's kind of like Shovel Knight, where like Shovel Knight was a game that was kind of in that style, but they're definitely not like coding to like an NES. Like they're not trying to be faithful to an NES in terms of like we're only going to use so many tracks because it was an NES. They're definitely taking liberties with it. So
and that was the only thing that was really fighting me with that with falling in love with this game because you did that with the music, which I loved, but the gameplay itself, I'm like, it doesn't really move beyond that era, does it? Like, it's not supposed to. I understand that. They wear the '80s action game on their sleeve,
right?
But it's just like me personally, just like, I wish you added just a little something to either the art style or something that says 2019 on it. But
I'm gonna do a little bit of cleanup here and then I'm gonna start the spoiler territory.
All right.
One thing I do want to say is the writing in this game is actually genuinely funny as well. That was something that I did not expect. And it's not like third wall breaking, but there's a lot of stuff that's just like this is a video game. Yeah, yeah. And some of the stuff like I read and like I never like died laughing, but I definitely was just like you got me. So there was some good stuff with that. And it's like you should not be playing this game for the story at all. But like what's funny is near the end of the game, they literally just do like a story dump on you. And I watched it and I was entertained by it. But the very end of it definitely is just kind of like this is just one story. And I really hope that they do more in this. And I want them to make a sequel to this game and I want them to push the boundaries of what they've been doing in other ways that we'll talk about in a minute. But so this game is only on Game Pass PC, we should say. It is not on Xbox at all, believe it or not. And it is also available on Switch and PS4 if you want to play it elsewhere or you don't have Game Pass on PC, maybe you only have it on Xbox. So it is not Xbox Play Anywhere. And the no microtransactions. And the one last thing is it does have achievements, though, because it came out on the Windows Store. So some games do have achievements. And I got about 700 of the 1,000 achievement points just by basically playing the game. So those last 300 points, I looked through them, and I would say it's going to require a lot of backtracking, and it's going to require you to do some there's like hidden rooms with these green coins, basically, and that's kind of the...
Are there actually 40, 50
there are.
Of those?
There are, yeah. I got about 38 of them, I think, without really doing much backtracking, like of just kind of paying attention and going through stuff.
Yeah, I got that same near that same amount. I'm just like, I don't see where the other, like... Yeah. They hit them pretty well, apparently.
Yeah, there's about 10 of them that are just they're hidden. That's all I'll say. So it's moderately difficult. I'd rate it at about probably a 5 out of 10 in terms of difficulty. You can get about 700 points pretty easy, but the last 300 you are going to have to work for a little bit. You're going to have to master the mechanics because all of those coins are hidden in rooms that do some sort of platforming puzzle, you know, so sometimes there's wind mechanics and you got to, you know, float just the right way. And that's where you're going to die a lot too, is those.
That's making my gripe about the game as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not the older I get, the less enthused I am about difficulty from platforming, especially. I'm just not a fan of it at this point. I'm just kind of like, all right, I missed the jump. I get that, but why? So I got an insta death back to the checkpoint now. Like I'm just kind of like, I didn't necessarily rage quit, but I definitely just kind of like, okay, like I could have played this game for another hour or two tonight, but I just fell into that spike pit twice in a row, and I think I'm good.
Yeah, that definitely when I sort of hit my, I think I finished this game in about 3 or 4 sittings, and it's about about a 10 to 12 hour game. So that first night I really dived into it. And then that second night I played for about an hour or two. And then I kind of hit like, cause the game does get harder. And I sort of started hitting some of the more difficult stuff. And I just couldn't hit the jumps right. And I just kept dying. I was like, all right, I need to come back to this another time. Because, but it's, it's not punishing. Like, it's not like a Super Meat Boy or like a Ori and the Blind Forest where it's just like,
no.
Yeah, like you can die quite a bit, but you're not going to get into the hundreds most likely, unless you're going for some of those side coins, because some of them are difficult. But they are pretty good about usually having a checkpoint relatively close. There's a couple of them every once in a while. It's just like, I'm not going back to get that right now. Like, I'll come back later. Exactly. Like, I don't. Yeah. So I think it's fair to say that we both say you should pass this one on to your friends. And then, I mean, at least that's what I would say.
I would say short answer, yes. Long answer, depending on how old that friend is, because the humor in this game is very self-aware, but it's also self-aware it hits the beats of more of a 30-year-old gamer or older, someone who's played those games and they're in on the joke, because they make a direct Ninja Gaiden joke at some point, like direct reference to Ninja Gaiden, you know, like, if you're, as fun as the gameplay is, it's not really going to hold. I don't think it's going to hold the attention span of a younger person who doesn't appreciate this style of game.
Right. Well, and especially because of So I'm going to finish up by saying the price is also $19.99. I forgot that. So now we're going to move into more spoiler territory. If you don't want to know anything, stop now, but definitely play this game. So I definitely agree with what you just said, because about halfway through the game, not even halfway, probably about 4 hours later, it kind of goes from 8-bit to 16-bit. It looks like a Genesis game at that point. And I mean, everything changes. The entire game looks different. The music is even very Genesis sounding. It's got that sort of, you know, very electronic sounding Genesis sound. There's a very distinct Genesis sound. But like you said, if you don't have any nostalgia with the Genesis, you have no idea what that means.
Right.
So, right. So, but as someone who had a Genesis and played, you know, I played Maximum Carnage on both Super and Sega, and, you know, just to listen to the damn music on the Sega, because it just has that distinct sound. And it's a love letter to the Genesis. It's making sure that it plays and looks and sounds like a Genesis game. But if you didn't have a Sega Genesis, then you're just like, what do I care?
Yeah. I mean, like, and the thing is, like, You told me, like, this is big twist that happens, and I'm like, honestly, like, the way games have been made for such a long time, sadly, when you said expect a big twist, I was expecting in story. So when the twist happened in gameplay, I'm like, I almost didn't register it as a twist. Like, I'm just like, oh, that was cool, but when does the twist happen? But, like, no, that's the actual twist in the game. Like you just don't. It reminds me of that PC only game, like, it's called, like, might call it 16-bit hero or something, where it starts off like an old school Zelda game, then it kind of over time turns into like a Wind Waker game almost.
Yeah, definitely.
So it's like, that's the feeling I got in that gameplay twist. And the thing that kept me playing also was the small additions to gameplay. Like, just the glide function, or the being able to attack while gliding, like those.
Yeah, that was big. Yeah,
like, that was a game changer for me. I'm like, oh, I don't ever have to leave the ground at this point, and I really felt like it was a huge upgrade in a game that doesn't have huge flair. Like, I thought they did a really good job of making the game make you feel like this cool ninja with this essentially reminiscing, like, no, low tech soft hardware.
Right. Right. And when it changes to like the 16-bit, what's cool is, cause like some of those, you actually get newer upgrades. Is almost like you couldn't do this in 8-bit, but you can, because the game does switch back eventually, sort of. And so, like, I thought that was kind of nifty too. It's almost like the tech, you know, now we got more tech so you can do more things. And they even, in the story, they kind of talk about it too. You know, they're just kind of like, whoa, like, why do I look different? And he's just like, oh, I can do more. And it's, so it kind of plays in on it. Yeah, but I guess the thing that it just, to go, to make this game, and then to make, like, it's not just a 16-bit, like, you know, what's what I'm looking for? Like, skin. Like, they go back and they change everything. Like, there's more animations. The backgrounds are different. The enemies are different. Even the same enemies you already fought are completely different. They look different. They animate different. So to me, just as a, as someone who has, you know, I've talked to developers, I know developers, I've never made a game, but like the amount of work that had to have went into that is crazy. And for them to do that is awesome. Like, that's just something that I never expected. And to see all of that was just, it was just really, really cool.
And I like the presentation of it as well. Like just the direction of it, because like it happens basically after that, after you get to move forward in time, I guess. And
right.
It's just a cool reveal.
Yeah.
I think my favorite part about the game, because will be probably the writing of the shopkeeper.
Yeah, he's awesome.
He's probably my favorite part of the game because I said, the gameplay didn't necessarily keep me hooked for as long as I wanted it to, because the nostalgia kind of wore off on me sooner than most people would. But I did keep playing primarily for a lot of reasons, because of the shopkeeper's writing, because the shopkeeper knows he's in a video game.
Right.
And I love the fact that there's this running gag with the closet, I want to say.
Like, yeah, he's like, don't touch the closet.
Don't touch the closet. It's like, and then you try to touch the closet again. He's like, I said, don't touch the closet. Like, please don't touch the closet. Don't be that guy.
Right.
And keep going until he's like, I'll warn you, I'm going to tell you a super long story that you cannot skip if you keep touching the closet. In which I said, fuck it, let's see what happens. I legitimately got like a good 3 to 5 minute exposition dump that I could not skip of just slow text crawl. I think he actually said that too. He's like, I'm gonna make sure like the text moves slower than
you. Yeah, he does say
that. Like, this is a good gag. Like, I really just played more for the I kept playing for the gags. I stopped playing for when they wanted to really exercise their let's say their creativity when it came to creating the spike picks and the platforming sections. It's like, because at some point it just ramps up like almost overnight. You're like,
yeah,
you'll walk through one screen that had like 3 jumps total, and then the next screen is like 18 jumps and some wind blowing. You have to like guide your way over by jumping over something else. It's like, this came out of nowhere, and like I just hit a little wall here that I don't want to feel like progressing for tonight. But I mean, overall, I think I'm really impressed by it, and I guess hope that a sequel would be along the same lines of Following an Error.
Yeah, well, and it's, I mean, and to talk about the last major, I don't know, like, I thought this was a twist, but I kind of looked at other people and they're like, I didn't think that was a twist. But so this game's kind of broken into 3 parts. It's into the 8-bit section, the 16-bit section, and then the game goes full on Metroidvania. Basically, you kind of visit all these areas and then it's like, hey, go back to this area now. So it's not as in depth of like a Metroidvania in terms of, you know, there's, what's what I'm looking for? You're not going to get a missile and then a super missile. Like, and then all of a sudden you have all this access to a new door. But basically what happens is that you progress far enough in the story that certain things start opening up to you. And the one thing that I have to commend this game for is that at any time, if you're having issues, you can go to the shopkeeper, and for a small fee of the currency in the game, you can basically get a pointer on your map, which is also a gag in the game, is pretty funny. But it's just like, go here, stupid. And that is a godsend, because, you know, there's the one fallback of any Metroidvania is that if you get lost, you can get lost, period.
Forever?
Yeah. And you can just run around. And sometimes, like, as someone who just played through Hollow Knight recently as well, it's just, there was a time that I missed a room by like a millimeter. Like, I was supposed to go up instead of down, but it was like a hidden area. And I had no idea where to go. And it took me forever. And eventually I had to look it up. But with this game, whenever I got lost, it's like, I'm just not getting this here. Like, what am I missing? And I go talk to him and he's just like, oh, go here, stupid. And so I'm like, oh geez. Like, I didn't even see that room over there. Like, even though it's clearly on the map, there's a freaking room right here. I just didn't go there for whatever reason. And that's nice, because like I said, that's the drawback of any Metroidvania. When you get lost, it can be entirely just like, I don't want to play this anymore. Like, I'm running back and forth and I'm seeing the same shit over and over. And I don't want to do it. So that was something that kept me going in the final part of the game, I guess you could say, the final stretch, because that's the Metroidvania stuff is kind of the last quarter of it, whatever you want to call it. And it was very cool to also some of the they also like rendered every area in 8-bit and 16-bit, because at one point you can go back and forth between time. And there's certain areas that you can do it and certain areas that you can't. But they also start playing that into the puzzles too, to where some of the puzzles actually require you to go to 8-bit and then back to 16-bit. And they're very clever with that stuff. And so like at that point, I want to see the end of this game, because I'm loving every part of this. And I love the dragon that you meet, because he's just funny. And then by the time the credits rolled, I was like, that was great. Like, I want to see another game in this format, and I want to see them push themselves, like maybe start in 16-bit and go on like a full PlayStation era, like maybe even do.
That's exactly what I'm hoping for as well. Like, yeah. That's what I want to see them do, that exact thing, because the drawbacks in this game for me were all personal drawbacks as me as a gamer. Like, they're just things I personally just don't like. But overall, like, this is massively done, and that's exactly what I want to see them do. I want them to start from like the 64 era now,
right?
And see and in the PlayStation 1 era, to see how that would work, if that's even possible. Because I would say this would have been out of like an indie first time developers league, like this for them to do this. But I'm like, they nailed it. They fucking nailed it. Like, and again, I think the kudos to the writing, because that really kind of pushed me through, like, to see what happens next.
Yeah, and it's when they do sort of dump the story on, which I think I already sort of touched on, they're not afraid to say that there is a story and there is lore here. Like, this isn't just a one-off. Like, they've definitely made what's the word I'm looking for? They've crafted a universe for themselves, and they don't go into super deep detail on it, but they're definitely thinking about it. So that's what leads me to believe that they want to tell more stories in this universe. But and just the way it gets to the end is pretty funny too. The way that, like, at one point you sort of discover that you are the shopkeeper at one point.
Yes.
Like, and it does that thing where whenever there's time travel involved, and whenever there's duplicate copies of people, there's always that gag of just like running into yourself. And then Red versus Blue does it great. So if you've ever watched that, you know exactly what I'm talking about. But this does it masterfully as well, to where eventually, like, you start running into yourself or running into other messengers from the past, and they're just like, well, if I'm here, then you can't be here because I died here. And then it's like, oh, so this must be the guy that saves everything. And once it finally gets to the end, it's the payoff is very good. I was very, very satisfied with the ending, with the humor, the way it ends. And basically they're just kind of saying, this was just one story and we've got plenty more to tell. So
plenty more to hear if you just listen to the shopkeeper, because you can ask the shopkeeper, like, tell me a story. And I feel like half of those are like legit, like possible ideas of what they want to do or what actually happened in their lore. So, like, yeah, I'm looking forward to the next game. This is a knockout park for me.
Yeah, the only other game that has grabbed me like this in this style was probably Shovel Knight. Like, that was the last game that, because like a lot of these 2D games come out and they're I don't know, there's just something faithful about them.
They're too faithful to me. I don't like. Yeah. I just can't do. I don't have a lot of love for a new game that is so old.
Right.
Like, you got to do something new. You got to do something different. You got to put a twist on it, like a legitimate twist on it. So, like, whether you do something like this where you're moving throughout the eras, or maybe you make it so that, like, even quirky writing alone wouldn't have done this game justice, to be honest.
For sure.
With.
Yeah.
Like, if it just stayed the way it was in the first hour, I would have said, probably pass on it, but with the quirky writing mixed with the ambitious gameplay style,
music,
and the fantastic fucking music, that's what makes this game like a Game Pass game you should like pass on to your friends.
Yeah, for sure. So I think it's fair to say we both can recommend this one, like you said. But I mean, it does kind of, if you are, I don't want to say a younger lad,
I'm not saying they won't like it. It's just like, I feel like they won't get the appreciation they need to get from it.
Right. Yeah. No, definitely. And what I'm not going to plug other shows, but like I've heard other shows to where someone that is much younger than you and I, in their early 20s, were like, I don't get it. You know, it's just right. Like,
and I'm mad at them. I don't blame them.
Right. Right. Whatever. That's another story for another time. But like it's still a fun game though. Like even if, you know, if you like 2D games and you like that style of games, this is one of the better, even still without all of the throwbacks and the callbacks, it's still just a well-made game. Agreed. So yeah, and it's got, you know, that the interesting challenge and the challenging parts with the collectible coins and stuff, and yeah, so there is a hidden reward at the end. I won't spoil that, but if you do get all the coins, you do get something. So that's all I'll say. But so yeah, I think it's fair to say that this one gets a pass to your friends. You should not pass this one by.
Right, agreed. The good pass, not the bad pass.
Yes, the good pass. Yeah, you know, we really should have thought that out before.
No, we'll work it out. Episode 33, we'll get it.
Yeah, probably. So as normally, I think last time we were going to say we're going to try to pick our next game, but I don't know have we picked a game yet?
We haven't. I'll put it in the old randomizer. See what pops up.
I mean, well, hey, I'm gonna float this on to you live floating here. I think we need to mix it up, and I think we need a game that we're going to be divisive on, and I got one. Halo Wars or Halo Wars 2?
Halo Wars 2?
Or the original. The original's on both. It's a cross-play game, so and we can play together, because we also, yeah.
Okay, all right, I'm down.
So it's an RTS, because I won't give my opinion on it, but for once, I think we'll have a difference of opinion. And
I tend to like an RTS, so I'm curious.
Right, but Halo Wars is one of those RTSs that some people are like, fuck that piece, you know? Like, that's not a real RTS. It's like when people say Killer Instinct's not a real fighter. Like, I just get, triggered. So I get real triggered. So the question is, do we do one or do we do two?
I say we do one and two, back to back.
Oh, shit. All right.
It's a two-parter.
Oh shit. So all right, that's gonna do it for this episode. Oh yeah, you're the host. You take us out.
You continue. I have a phone call. Okay. Way more important. Oh, okay. It's bullshit.
Okay. That's gonna do it for this episode of Game Pass or Pass. Let us know what games you are playing on whatever podcast hosting service that you have. We're on basically everything. We're on Stitcher, we're on iTunes, we're on any podcast service thing that you can think of.
All right, update. That's not a very important phone call.
Okay, great. Thanks for that. And leave us some comments. You can also, we have a YouTube channel, Platform for Gamers. You can look us up there. We got Game Pass picks on there, as well as just other content, I guess you could. I wanted to say videos, but that just didn't sound right. We have other content, Platform for Gamers.
Content sounds about right. Yeah.
Everyone says content.
Videos also work because it is YouTube. Like, why wouldn't it be videos?
But yeah, you just go to YouTube and just watch a blank, a blank slate of just us talking. There you go, just staring at a screen. But check us out there. Let us know what you think, what games you're playing on Game Pass, whether you agree, disagree with the messenger. If you disagree, we're gonna block you though, so just so you know. But that's gonna do it. We'll see you next time.
Good days.